Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have John and a familiar face, our good friend Mikey Dudek, back on the podcast. Welcome back, Mikey.
It's good. It's good to be back. I just wish I would have prepared better and come with a better background, but this will do.
We need Dan to whip you up something quick.
Yeah. We'll get you in ChatGPT, fire you up something. What do you want? You want like a press conference background? Maybe like, I don't know, Tim Beckman behind you?
Yeah, him with like a lasagna quote or something.
I think that would get the people going.
Yeah, but no, it's good to be back.
Yeah, welcome home. I got to ask you off the bat, first question that you probably get from any person that walks up to you, Hank Beatty, Mikey Dudek comparisons. How many times have people made those comparisons to you?
It's funny you say that because I was on the train this morning heading to Chicago and some guy came up to me and he's an Illini grad and we were just talking and he brought that up. He's like, how many times do people mention Hank Beatty to you? And it happens all the time. Coworkers, even my mom's like, oh, you remind me of this kid. So it's, I mean, Hank's just incredible. You know, anyone who's watched the games, you know, has seen the impact that he's been able to make, you know, not only as a receiver, but also as a returner, which is so big at any level. So to have a guy like that on our team is just huge. And you can see the relationship that he's built with Luke, which is, I mean, Luke is playing lights out too, but just him and Beatty's connection is, got to be, you know, one of the best 1-2 punches in college football right now, and I do think the stats would back it up. So super happy for Hank, and you know, we're going to need a big one out of him on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, obviously number one team in the country, the opportunity to make a statement nationally is certainly there, and in front of a home crowd, in front of an orange out crowd. Hopefully we go with the all orange uniforms. I know 2 years ago when we did our orange out against Penn State, we actually did not wear it. We wore blue uniforms for some reason. But last year against Kansas, orange out, we went with the orange unis. I put a tweet out there to get the people going. But like, you have to wear the color rush orange for the orange out, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I think so. And especially I think there's going to be the little orange towels that people are going to have. So We want our team out there in orange. So I don't know if they, you know, picked the jerseys yet. I'm assuming they have, but if not, this is our definite pitch to get the boys out on the field, matching the fans, and you know, let's all be one because we're going to be rooting them on and you know, hopefully making an impact.
My
question for you,
in lieu
of Dan's change in his background with the new helmet. What is your favorite, Mikey, helmet with the script or the different patterns? I know last year had more
I like the script. I like the script. I just think that's a clean look. And I think last weekend against Purdue, I want to say they like showed them on social media and I got pretty hyped up and then we came out in different lids. But I think the script is just classic, looks good, especially with the white face mask. So hopefully we'll break those boys out this weekend.
I will say they could do something cool with the 2007 team winning at Ohio State where they had the block slant letters with the underline logo. If you go with those throwback helmets, they're orange with the regular orange unis. That might be a little best of both worlds scenario. But I do like the script. I think the script's maybe my favorite as well.
Yeah, just a classic look. I think it looks great. But that's a good point, Dan. You know, let's try to mimic what the boys in 2007 did. But at the same time, I almost feel like Bielema is trying he places a big emphasis on history, but I feel like he's trying to rewrite Illinois football. So that's the only reason why they might not do something like that. I don't know if they even have those or what, but just in hearing Bielema talk, he places a lot of emphasis on the history, but just about this being a new age, new beginning. So I could see him being like, you know, we're going to start our own tradition. We're going to wear these, something like that. But you never know. I guess we'll find out.
What are your first impressions of the team this year? I know typically in years past, we didn't get your prediction this season, but you always go 12-0. And we're not too far off. I mean, 5-1 to start, going up against a 6-0 Ohio State team. Are you happy with what you've seen thus far? I know, you know, the Indiana game obviously did not go according to plan. Is that still, you know, foremost in your mind when you think about this year's team, or have you seen enough to make a determination?
It's tough because, and that's a great question, because every time, you know, I see us playing well, like against USC, we're going in right before half, we're, you know, on the 1 yard line going to score, and then we fumble the ball, which is, it was kind of a BS call if you ask me.
Agreed.
And then, but I always, you know, think back to the Indiana game. It always is, you know, national televised, just get absolutely blown out. But at the same time, you know, there have been some really good things that we've done, and we've yet to put a full game together. You look at the Duke game, what we're up by a few at half, or maybe even tied at half, come out, you know, blow the doors off in the second half. Even last week at Purdue, it was kind of a closer game than, you know, the score might have made it look. And then just some blown coverages, missed tackles, you know, penalties on the offense side of the ball. So my long-winded answer is, you know, I'm very happy with how we played, but at the same time, I know, and everyone in the building knows, that there's room for improvement, which gets you even more excited because we haven't seen a complete game yet. And, you know, as I said earlier, hopefully we can bring a complete game on Saturday. Otherwise, it'll be another long, you know, early morning, late afternoon for us as fans.
Yeah, I feel like it the point of there's being room for improvement, definitely, but the fact that you kind of need that all to coalesce in one game against the number one team, it's not that it can't happen, and I love the fact that they have this opportunity at home. You know, what better environment to try and get right in that kind of a way, but man, you're really it's going to have to essentially be probably a perfect game on offense. And then you're just going to need like a couple things to go right on defense, or just a couple big plays early to get the momentum rolling, because that's just an area that I'm not trying to be so down so early in the podcast, but I'm having trouble, especially looking at the Ohio State roster, just being like, man, how do we contain these guys when, you know, talking about the Indiana game, like that's not necessarily so fresh because the bounce back against USC, like they obviously have a great offense, and the fact that we were able to, you know, kind of keep them under control to the degree that we did was nice, but it's still one of those where I'm kind of a bit hesitant to just be all in and like, okay, yeah, this is number one. This is perfect. Everything's gonna go great.
Mikey, I want to ask you, in your playing experience, a game like this that's been circled on your calendar prior to the season, does a coach scheme something up that they're holding back in the chamber waiting for that game? Or is it too far out in the future that it's like we're not going to plan for, you know, Ohio State week six or week seven when, you know, we have all these other games to play ahead of time? Like, do you think Barry Lunny, you think Brett Bielema are sitting there with something special that they were holding back for this Ohio State defense?
I do think yes, but I don't necessarily think it's for Ohio State. You know, when you're in camp, you probably run, you know, 200 different plays, maybe probably even more than that. And you run through all your trick plays, you run through, you know, 2-point conversions, you run through third and short, third and medium, third and long. And then each week you have a script based off the defense. So I don't think, you know, they've been plotting something for 6 months just to use against Ohio State, especially this late in the season. I think it's just, you know, part of their preparation throughout spring into fall camp of just having, you know, different plays or different ways that they've shown one run, disguising that, showing it the same, but doing a play action pass or something off of that. I do think we'll see a little bit of wrinkles, but probably very similar to what we've had, just with some disguising in there. So hopefully that answers your question there, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I just think of Brett Bielema, and I always go back to the barge package and how he had that
That's
locked and loaded. I'm like, do we have something like that, or
yeah.
do we show, like, you know, Luke Altmyer hasn't really run the ball too much this year. There's been a few opportunities, but like, are we holding that back and unleashing him, or do you just play your game, play what you've done that's worked so well on offense, and just, you know, try to outdo the defense with a better offense? That's what I'm curious if there's anything potentially there that we may showcase that we haven't really seen much of this season?
No, and I think that's another great question. And I think that that was going to be, you know, one of my keys to the game. You mentioned the barge package. It's just, you know, making sure we control the tempo. Ohio State's gonna put up points. The more we can have the ball and just drain the clock, you know, slow the game down, control the tempo of it, you know, that's where I would see us winning. If we let Ohio State control the tempo, they're gonna score a bunch of points. They'll score against anyone. They'd score against the Bears. You know, it doesn't matter who's out there with that roster. They're loaded. So if we can, you know, eliminate mistakes, control the tempo, similar to how we did against Penn State, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when we upset them. And I think they were a top 10 team, you know, on the road. So Bielema, you know, I've all the trust in world in Bielema, and, you know, every Illini fan could probably echo that statement that he's a guy going into every week, no matter who we're playing, we always feel like our team's going to be prepared to go out there and, you know, do the best they can to try to win, knowing that he'll put them or us in a position to do that.
Well, and I feel like the one thing that I love about a Brett Bielema coach team, and this is, I remember going back to the Arkansas days, like looking at stuff, he always loved to have like one trick play a game. So we always had something in his bag that I feel like the other team is somewhat aware of or has to at least scheme for. But I mean, thinking about the pass to Brandon Henderson last year, or the fake punt against Michigan, or the double pass this year to Luke, it's like there's always something, but what is it going to be? I kind of feel like that's the advantage that they have, where Ohio State's probably thinking about that. And yeah, if you can just run your, not vanilla stuff, but you can just run your normal stuff and then maybe mix a little something something in there, then maybe that'll be the goods.
I hear blue in the background, Mikey.
Yeah,
sorry. We got ourselves a
no. Bring them in. Can we get a blue showcase?
Come here, buddy.
This is why we put it on the YouTubes.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Blue said he's going to change his name to Orange if Illinois can pull it off this
year. Oh yeah, that's a good one. I someone asked me, and I don't know if I'd mentioned this to you guys before, but back when I lived in Chicago, I was just walking him on the street. Not to get too sidetracked here. And they're like, oh, what's his name? And I was like, oh, it's Blue. And they're like, oh, did you go to Michigan? And I'm like, no, but it's a good, like, I see why you asked that. And I'm like, shoot, I hope people don't think I'm like a Michigan guy whenever I introduce him. Because it's Illini boy right there.
All right. Official bet of the week is Blue getting an official name change to Orange if Illinois pulls off the upset.
We'll call him Orange till next year if we pull off the upset.
Hey, I'm holding you to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Ohio State's going to be a real challenge. I'm hoping that the crowd and the environment can lift this team up. And like you mentioned, Bielema's going to have the guys ready to go for a big game like this. I think of the Michigan game last year, and he's such a good coach at leveling the playing field. Maybe when you don't have the X's and O's, or sorry, the Jimmies and the Joes that Ohio State has, he can try to level the playing field with the little intangible stuff, the high IQ stuff, the, you know, the in-game strategy of we're going to do these late substitutions and try to play these mind games. And I'm hoping those little edges he can, you know, try to tilt things back a little more equally, and then hope we can ride some momentum, get out to an early lead, and let the crowd and the pressure for a quarterback at Ohio State, Julian Sain, who hasn't played in many tough road environments. I mean, he went to Washington earlier this year and handled them, but I think this is going to be the most hostile environment by far he's played in a big game with a lot of eyeballs on him. And you hope that you got Cool Hand Luke on our sideline, who has been there, done that, and maybe a freshman like Julian Sain shows a little bit of the inexperience. And, you know, when a quarterback is as important as it is in football, like if he's not playing his best game, that can totally derail an offensive game plan. And, you know, on the flip side, when you have Luke Altmaier, you can give up a bunch of points on defense like we've seen a few times this year, and he can still overcome it by having, you know, scoring more points and being better on the offensive side of the ball. So it's an interesting matchup to me, and I hope and think that the Illinois crowd being as loud and rowdy as they are should be will affect the game and potentially have a, you know, a legitimate impact on the score.
Yeah, I sure hope you're right, Dan, because Ohio State's defense is playing lights out this year. So if we're getting into, if Ohio State's putting up a ton of points, it's going to be difficult for us to, play from behind and try to catch them with their defense. But if we're able to get to Sain early, knock him off his rhythm a little bit, don't allow big plays to, Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate on the outside, who are, two of the best receivers in the country. We have a chance, but if we allow them to get in rhythm, we allow Julian to stay up, make his reads, make his throws, it'll be a long afternoon.
I feel like too, the, not to always keep harkening back to the IU game, but I feel like a lot of, PTSD is coming from that, and people are maybe thinking that's going to be the same exact thing this weekend. However, I do have faith that Barry Lunny is going to obviously learn from that, but also realize that during the Duke game, like Luke, when he had plenty of time on some plays and he was able to carve them up. And, obviously Cignetti was talking smack about how, oh yeah, like actually if Duke doesn't turn it over, like they were getting to him pretty easily. I understand that, but they were definitely responding a little bit better with, the quick passes or getting it out in rhythm with, Luke getting out to Hank and Hank, it's funny that when you guys were talking about him, I don't know, Mikey, if the comparison is so apt, and this is, not to blow smoke up your butt, but at the same time, like he got, hawked it in the SC game. And I thought that he had kind of gotten rid of those demons when he ran away for that first touchdown, and then he got tackled at the one again. And so I don't know if, he's got to work on the high knees or whatever, but he's got to work on that breakaway speed. Cause that's something where people want to make the Mikey Duda comparisons. And I know that you wouldn't have gotten caught on that.
Well, I appreciate that. And the South Carolina game, I was sitting right in that end zone. And saw him running. I was like, touchdown. Then I just see that guy coming. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Bad angle.
And then we fumbled like two plays later. So,
yeah. Then
and same thing with Colin Dixon against USC. Obviously, those guys are trying to score. But if we can get some breakaways and actually put them in the end zone, that'll be huge.
Yeah. Sorry, not, I kind of went on a tangent there, but it's one of those where, like, hopefully they're getting a little bit more accustomed to the quick game. And, Ohio State's defense is so legit that they might be able to put a blanket over that and just kind of let Luke get time and enough that then they can get pressure on him. I don't know. It's going to be a tall task, but then what are the three things that Brett says? You got to be able to run the football, defend the run, and cover kicks. So I also could definitely see, where I might be thinking, oh yeah, just like run a bunch of RPOs and get a bunch of quick slants out. Maybe they're just going to try and run it down their throats early and often to try and maybe get them on their heels to take some deep shots. Cause I do feel very confident, obviously, in the passing offense. The rushing offense has been, kind of meh or so, and maybe this is the Khalil Valentine, super breakout game, but it's one of those where maybe they can lull him into a little bit of a ground and pound early, lean on him, and then hit a couple deep plays.
Yeah, to me, it's been less so the running backs and more so the run blocking that's been the issue. And I think the pass blocking, aside from the sacks and having difficulty picking up stunts against Indiana, I thought the pass blocking has responded. And in the USC game, Luke had some pretty clean pockets for the most part, and I think Ohio State's obviously the biggest test when it comes to that. They're gonna rush you, and they're gonna give you all sorts of different looks. And Matt Patricia's gonna try to scare Luke with different, schemes and things he hasn't seen before. And I think Luke's prepared for it. So the matter to me is, like, can you open up some running lanes so that you don't have to just sit back and pass and let their defense tee off on you? And that's what I'm afraid of. You don't open up the running lanes, then all of a sudden their defense starts getting downhill on the passes, and you get in trouble in a real hurry.
Yeah, we need to establish the run. Fagan needs to get going. He's a run a guy over, and Khalil, he's my favorite back out of all three. He just, every time he touches the ball, he's like a little spark plug. Just his wiggles and jukes. I think he could have a huge game, but it's going to be so important for our offensive line to get some push. Don't allow their guys to, knock us back and really establish the run. Cause if we don't, Dan, like you said, I mean, Patricia's just going to throw so many different wrinkles at Luke. And I don't know if we can just sit back there and throw with the kind of pressure that would be coming if we are not able to establish the run. So that's, priority, number two. First, like I said, tempo. second would be make sure we get the run going, but those kind of go hand in hand.
The one other thing I saw that a quote from Myles Scott saying, like, we just need to shut down their best option, which is Jeremiah Smith. There, it sounds like from that quote, the game plan is going to be do not let this guy beat you. And maybe they're going to go one-on-one to Max Clair, or like they have so many options. Carnell Tate, then if they're getting two guys on Jeremiah Smith, then there's going to be some opportunities for Ohio State's other players to step up and make plays. And it's, you're playing with fire, but I mean, Jeremiah Smith is that good that you might need two eyeballs on him at all times.
Definitely.
I'm curious, Mikey, in terms of like how you're feeling about the defense, in terms of just like the pre like I don't want this to turn into like a session of, you know, blaming like the pass rush was all on Gabe, because I'm sure teams are keying on him. And you know, I like the guys from Wisconsin, but they haven't really generated much by way of like a negative bubble on a pass rush. So when we're talking about like the pass defense, like yeah, it's going to be damn near impossible to cover some of these guys for 5, 6 seconds. So like I just don't like it, short of Gabe just going beast mode and you know playing himself into like a top 15 pick, like I don't really know where the answer is. Like I'm curious how, when you're watching that on defense, like you're watching the defense and you're keying on these guys, like I obviously it's simple, just like get after the quarterback, but I don't really know like what the real answer is, because I feel like we should be saying like, oh, what's Gabe doing? But then it's usually not so simple as just like, oh yeah, your best player is probably getting double teamed.
Yeah, and we you think with the amount of times we blitz and play man coverage, we'd be able to get more pressure on the quarterback. But I don't, similar to you, John, I don't have an answer. It seems like, you know, when teams play us, you know, they'll run different stunts and whatnot, and the guy will be running right free right at Luke. I think back to the Duke game, and you know, Manny Diaz just drawing up crazy defensive schemes and getting at Luke, especially in the first half. I think there's like four sacks. And with the amount of man to man and blitzing we do, our corners and secondary, they're on an island a lot of the time, which is, you know, a lot to ask of them to cover for, you know, 4 or 5 seconds. So, you know, we're going to need to get pressure. I don't know who it'll be. Gabe obviously is star number one, but like you said, John, you know, they'll probably chip him, put a second guy him. So it's going to be, you know, some of those other guys that need to step up and get some pressure, because I don't know any defense, it's tough to play, you know, corner. I don't care if you're Darrelle Revis, to cover someone, it's you know, probably the second hardest position in football is defensive back. So those guys need some help up front. And you know, Aaron Henry, you know, great guy, and I know he'll you know, put us in a position. Hopefully he's, you know, washed the Indiana turnout, and you know, we're able to learn from that, which I think what we have, you know, considering our last two games, we've looked a little bit better. So I, you know, it's going to be up to that defensive front to really get some pressure and provide some relief in the secondary, because if not, it's gonna be a long one.
Mikey, you were at the USC game. Fox Big Noon Kickoff was there. I want to hear about your experience with that and the atmosphere. I know you had told us that it was an incredible atmosphere. I assume this is going to be, you know, even a step above that. But what was it like for Big Noon Kickoff? And you know, I what will it be like for this upcoming week's Big Noon Kickoff part two?
Yeah, you know, when I parked my car and was walking up to the tailgates, and this was like 3 hours before the game, it was just packed. You know, the Big Noon stage was set up, it was packed in there. It was a bit surreal, because you know, 10 years ago when I was playing, it was not like that. So to see the fan buy-in because of the product that's on the field, it's you know, it's amazing. And you know, the atmosphere for, you know, USC was probably one of the best games that I've ever been to of any sporting event. That the crowd was into it the whole time, and I do think it's going to be a notch up, just because, you know, it's Ohio State, it's the big boys coming into town, it's number one. And back to what I said way earlier about everyone buying into Bielema and what he's able to do. Champagne's going to be, you know, rocking, and I hope we're able to be that support that the team needs, just to give them that little of an edge.
I think that's our teaser clip right there. That was picture perfect. That's
Oh, great.
exactly what I wanted to hear. What would you have given to play in that environment back in the day in a game, like an opportunity like that to play the number one team on the
At
national
home.
scene with an opportunity to make a massive statement and put yourself squarely back in the college football playoff picture?
It's what you dream about, like as a kid. You go to practice when you're, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. You come home, you know, you play on Saturdays, and then you watch college football. You watch these games, and you dream about playing in something like that. I've been on the other side of it, you know, where we've played some of these high-ranked teams at their place. The atmosphere was just unreal. So to see it now at Illinois and those guys in the locker room, like I was in the locker room after – the USC game, and I went up to, you know, one of the recruiting guys and just said, this is different. Like the culture and culture word gets thrown around so much, but just the culture that Brett and staff have built there is nothing like I've ever seen before. Those guys, you know, it's like they just expect to win. They know they're going to win because of the preparation they do going into each week. So I know, you know, all of them, I'm sure, had the same dreams like every other little kid of playing in games like this. They're all going to be super pumped up. And, you know, I wish I could be out there with them if, you know, I didn't have a bad wheel here, but it's good to root them on.
All right, I lied. I think that's the actual teaser clip now for this episode.
We'll just make it
throwing
Mikey's
out
back. Yeah. We'll keep splicing things together and just continual Mikey clips. That'll be maybe we'll just put the entire podcast out there. I do. If we have with the Big Noon Kickoff, if we've got Blue potentially changing his name, I'm curious how many shots of the fire truck we get in like the pregame festivities or even during the game. And two, if we win the game, what do we need to do to get the fire truck onto the field? Because I feel like that would be unbelievable. We need to talk to, we should have gotten Robert in on this because we need to figure out a way if we win to get the fire truck on the field.
Fire truck doing donuts at midfield after the game with the siren.
Robert
yelling.
Just, yeah, nailing the siren.
Oh my
that
God.
Would be incredible. I'm
fireworks
sure
going off.
You can make an AI video of that, Dan, a little foreshadow.
We need the real thing and we'll just crowdsource whatever fine or banning we get from the university for inevitably ruining their nice turf field. But
yeah.
When you got $100 million coming in, you're going to just build a new field, hopefully at some point anyway, then, you know, let the fire truck do a couple donuts.
Yeah.
Do you think we get a crowd storming? Should we win or
yeah.
only in, if it's in dramatic fashion or no crowds? Are we out on crowd stormings now after the USC game? We used our one crowd storming per year.
No, we would definitely storm the field number one, but I think last year we stormed it after like every game. It's getting a little I don't want to say ridiculous, but the USC, I think fans were just pumped up, especially after the week before, and they were ranked higher than us, so technically I think that's what you do.
Yeah,
but number one, if we win, I'll be the first one out there.
You'll be crowd surfing with the Illibuck turtle.
Oh yeah,
held
is
above
that,
your head.
Is that actually back? Is it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
it's talking too.
Yeah.
I saw that. But is it so it's still a trophy game? We just don't play it every year.
Correct. Yeah. So the Illibuck's back. Last time we won it was the 2007 game, Juice Williams on the road. I think Ohio State's won like 7 or 8 since then, but it's been several years since we played Ohio State. So Illibuck is back. I think it's like the 8th turtle they've had because they carve in the score each year. And they've had to use, I think, 7 or 8 different turtles. So we need to start. Turtle number 8's got to be the Illini turtle. I want to see Illinois victories piling up on the new Illibuck.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure if it was actually back.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I saw a bunch of stuff going on X. And I didn't know if people were just saying, oh, we need to bring it back. Because I know we have a few like locked trophy games with all the moving around in the Big Ten, but it's good to hear that it's alive and well.
It's a little bit sad and maybe an indictment on our program that we don't, it's like a mythical thing that we haven't seen since 2007 that we don't even know if it's a real trophy, but it should be there. And I would like to see you kissing the turtle.
I'd be hoisting it up, running around with it.
Mikey tossing the turtle around.
Yeah.
I think it's actually one of the old, I was looking this up recently. I think it's one of like the top 10 oldest trophies. I mean, I know that there's like random trophies, like even in the Mac that are, they're old. I think we need to bring back trophy games as like a whole. Like, I think that, you know, it was like a popular thing, but USC, Michigan State, like there should be a Trojan horse like trophy already made for that. Like you need to have these traditions. So like 150 years down the road, people are like, oh yeah, this is cool. Much like how the Illibuck is just something where it's like, yeah, not very relevant to our generation, but the fact that there's still a trophy to play for, and then that you can make AI talk, it's cool.
This is a quick side tangent, but the little cannon in the Purdue game, I think it was Jeremiah Warren who went to go pick it up, didn't realize that the cannon separates from the base of the thing, and he didn't know what to do when he was holding it. He thought, I think he thought he broke it, but that's just what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've lifted that little cannon up before.
Yeah,
and well, I remember Owen Carney when it was the rain game, and they were like doing slip and slides, and they were like holding it around, just like shooting it off. It was that's like a lasting image that I have of the little cannon, that it's like not fixed to the, but I always get thrown off because I'm like, wait, did they fix it to the wood this year? But yeah, Jeremiah Warren just getting used to it.
All right, should we go to our players of the game? I guess Mikey, I'll let you kick it off. Who do you think's the biggest impact player for the Illini?
Gabe Backus. I think we need him to be the biggest impact player. Yeah. If we talked about the defensive line and getting pressure, and for us to have a chance in this game, Gabe needs to have a coming out party similar to how he did against, you know, Michigan last year, South Carolina in the bowl game. Just really show his force and, you know, make some plays that send Ohio State backwards. I'm going Gabe Backus.
I like it. John, what do you got?
I almost want to defer to you because I feel like I might take your guy. So I'm going to let you go, Dan.
All right. I'm going to go Colin Dixon this week.
Oh, wow. Actually, you just took my guy. I was going to go Khalil Valentine. Wow. a little switcheroo here.
All right. Well, Colin Dixon, I mean, everyone's going to be keying on Hank Beatty. I think he's number two or number three PFF wide receiver graded out so far this year. One of the leaders. I think he's top three in receiving yards and obviously top five in all purpose yards. He's been our entire offense. So I think the number two guy is going to need to step up. And to me, that's Colin Dixon this year. He's had the ability to make the big plays. You know, the Indiana game, our lone score in that game was a deep 59 yard touchdown pass to Colin Dixon. And he has a knack for getting behind the defense. So I think he's in for a big game and a lot of opportunities. I think he'll see quite a few targets this one. You got Khalil?
Yeah. I mean, I was flip-flopping between the two, but I want to go Khalil just because I feel like, as much as, you know, the passing game has driven this offense thus far this year, I want to believe that Brett's going to just try and pound the rock, but maybe I just don't think that going out with Caden Fagan on first and second down and just running for, you know, like 2.3 yards a carry in early down scenarios is like really going to be the answer. So hopefully they run with Khalil. That's not to say, I think Caden can have a great game. And he's the kind of guy that in the third and fourth quarter, when you're really wearing down a defense like that, maybe he rises. But I think early and often you got to get Khalil the ball, because that dude is just, he's a guy who can make a defense as good as Ohio State's look, not necessarily pedestrian, but look just above average. And he can make things, he can make a 1 yard loss into a 3 yard gain. And he can keep you, even if you're not ahead of the sticks, not in such dire straits that then you're getting Luke killed on a third and 11, because, well, yeah, this is obvious passing downs, so they're just going to tee off on him. So I think that that's the kind of guy that you need to feed early and often, you know, get him involved in the pass game as well, even as just like an outlet. He's a guy who can be a difference maker just because of his, like, he's got NFL-esque moves, and that plays even when you're going up against NFL talent. You know, some guys just can't run away from him. Some guys just aren't, you know, that agile, and he's got enough in him that I feel like he's primed for a big game. So hopefully he's, you know, going off for 120 yards and two touchdowns.
We could get a moment like the UNC game where Keyshawn Vaughn ran down the sideline and just sent the crowd into a frenzy. Like, even if we don't win the game, we got to have a moment like that for everyone to to remember. And I think Khalil Valentine could be that guy, you know, slips through, gets to the second level and, you know, breaks a tackle and takes it all the way in for a long score, gets the place going. And I don't know, I think you need a big play like that early into the game to get the crowd behind you. And, you know, there will be people believing, but there's going to be plenty of people going into it thinking we have no shot. And you need to have a momentum play like that that gets everyone on board and just creates a loud environment where Ohio State can't even hear themselves think.
I love it. Let's, yeah. I guess we might as well just get into it. See, now I'm curious. This is the interesting part because I'm still flip-flopping even in my own head about score prediction.
So like, that's what I was going back and forth in my head right now.
We took a moment of silence because we need to figure this out.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but is Ohio State not giving up a touchdown this year yet?
No, I think they did to Washington, right?
They gave up 6 points. I think it was 24-6 they beat Washington. Right. I don't know if it was a touchdown or two field goals, but you might be right that they have not given up.
Texas 14-7 and Ohio
37-9. So Ohio or Texas scored a touchdown.
Yeah, but yeah. Ohio State is, I think, the number one scoring defense in the country and has the best, metric-wise, the best defense in the country right now. So you're not far off with that thought.
Yeah.
It feels like it. I mean, no one scored since week one. Then no one scored a touchdown since week one. Then you're not too far off.
I don't know if this was a touchdown with a failed two-point conversion. I think I remember it being a long pass because – yeah, it was 13-9 when Ohio got that touchdown. So I don't know if they just missed the extra point or whatever. Because I remember seeing that highlight and be like, oh, maybe Ohio State's not that good. And then they just have proceeded to not let a touchdown up since that point.
So who wants to give the first score prediction? Are we talking ourselves into victories? I feel like
I
you guys
I'm
are
going to.
I feel like I you feel guys like are flip flopping here.
No. I wasn't flip flopping on if we were going to win or not. I was flip flopping on what I want. What I think the score is going to be.
All right, let's let John go first.
Yeah, then. John, I'll let you take the first one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have been wrong enough that I'm just going to fade myself. And what I would say is that, you know, the defense just hasn't proven enough and that, you know, it's going to be a long day and that the offensive line hasn't shown me enough with their ability to protect Luke or even get a push on offense for run plays that, like, it's probably not going to be a great game. And, like, these are the things that I'm thinking. But then with how not even poor I've been, but just I also want to believe. And I want to have that moment of Keyshawn Vaughn going down the sideline, but then also not having it be something where it's just like a fleet. Because that's the thing, too, with like the Brett Bielema era. It's not just fleeting moments. Like, you might get moments like that that are the high highs, but then you have the consistency to kind of build upon that. So even though, yes, there will probably be a trick play somewhere in there and you'll probably be thinking like, oh, do we need to rely on that? And maybe we do, even if it's just like a late first quarter, early second quarter trick play to get the mo rolling, or if they think that the threat is there and you don't run it until maybe the third quarter. I don't also want to be that guy who, when number one comes down, picks them to lose. So I'm going to go Illinois 35, Ohio State 34.
Wow. Maybe, the podcast that everyone, if an Ohio State fan gets their eyeballs on this podcast, they're going to.
I mean, but we're going to have to score. Like the thing is like, I can't predict like a 17-14 game. Like I just feel like even though I know Brett's
going to
want to.
That's what was
him,
going through my head, John, with 17-14. I'm like, are we going to hold them to 14 points?
Exactly.
But I just have a hard time thinking we're going to score a lot. So that's why I keep flip flopping my score. But I'm going to go 20-14.
20-14.
Two touchdowns, two field goals. And yeah, I can't pick against Illinois. You know, until the day I die, I will always pick Illinois.
What is this, year six of the podcast? And I don't know if we'll ever get a Mikey L prediction.
You never will. Never will. So I just like to put the good aura out there. You know, try to get the mojo going. So 20-14, you know, hope we hold them to 14 points because we'll win.
All right. Well,
are you going to be the fly in the ointment, Dan?
I'm 6-0 on predictions this year. I feel like as the voice of reason, I have to tell you guys that it doesn't matter because Illinois is winning this game 27-24. The offense is getting the job done. Defense is going to hold on. stand on their heads, only allow 24 to an Ohio State team that's very capable of putting up a 50 burger on us. And the Illibuck trophy is coming back to Champaign. Mikey's going to see it to believe it.
Yep. I love it. Love it, Dan.
It's, I don't know. It's one of those things where you just got to believe. And college football is such a weird thing. And the emotions for these players is like, when something goes wrong and the crowd is getting loud, these are not professional athletes. Sure, half of the team on the other sideline is going to be in the NFL at some point, but there is a real like emotional factor that's hard to calculate. And I just feel like if you make a couple winning plays early, you kind of shake their confidence and you can turn a team that's the number one team in the country into a shell of themselves with a few momentum plays. And I think Bielema is going to have the guys ready to go. The crowd's going to be lively, national game, and an opportunity to arguably have the biggest win. I don't even know in how long, like arguably biggest win ever. I mean, I guess you could talk about some of those national championships back in the day and say those games that matter, but at least in the last, what, 30 years during my lifetime that I can remember, to me, a win like this would probably top the list. Beating an Ohio State team that's number one in the country, undefeated, has a laundry list of NFL talent, and it would be the biggest statement. Like, go ahead and build the Brett Bielema trophy if that happens, because like I will call up every trophy shop in the greater Champaign area and start getting quotes for everybody, because that's what we need. And I'm going to believe it, that this is the moment that Illinois football is back. And if we show up and play like the Indiana game, then we're going to look like the biggest clowns of all time. But you got to believe in something.
One time.
I love it. Love it. I hope. And I would agree. Build the trophy. And I do think, and my deep history of Illinois football is not the best, but this has got to be, you know, at least top three biggest game of all time. Because you're right back in the mix of being that's in the playoff.
Yep. Exactly. I think that's probably why it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, because not only would it be taking down number one, but like you'd be doing it and then putting yourself into like it right back into the conversation.
Yeah.
And like the Ohio State 2007 game where
yep.
we beat them on the road. That's obviously an incredible win as well. But like given the record we have and the path exactly. in front of us, and it being a home game too, I mm-hmm. think elevates the excitement around it should you pull it off. So I don't know. I'm excited for this one. It's not one. It's like you're playing with house money too. No one nationally is going to predict Illinois to win this game. You're a 14.5 point dog. You haven't looked great in some of these wins. The offense is good. The defense has been poor at best, you know, for the majority of the season. You've won some games. So unless you're believing in Brett Bielema and, you know, taking a chance, most of the national pundits are not going to be on Illinois' side. So it's like, what do you have to lose? Go play this game and see if you can kind of shock their system early and, I don't know, wreak havoc on an Ohio State team who, like we said, their quarterback is somewhat inexperienced, hasn't played in the big games, and maybe you can rattle them.
Let's go get them.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Illinois, 11 a.m. Central Time. Massive game. Number one Ohio State in town. Fox, national TV coverage. Mikey Dudek in attendance. Appreciate you coming back on the pod, Mikey, and hope you're on the celebratory pod next week.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and hopefully we win.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening to the Field Pass. As always, go Illini.